Mint.com/AA.
Progressive presents Renters MVPs Most Valuable Possessions. Today's MVP, Emily Neal's 70-inch TV. Because after watching her second grade students yell at each other for hours, there's nothing Emily enjoys more than watching super rich housewives also yell at each other. Why? Because those women are not her responsibility. And that's why her TV is today's MVP. Keep your most valuable possessions protected by bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Every morning, we rise and shine. Make breakfast and brush away the night's rest. These routines help us start the day off right. Nature Made vitamins are a simple step in that daily care regimen. Multivitamins with daily essentials, clinically studied probiotics for gut health support, magnesium to help relax the body. Nature Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and fire crews continue to battle multiple blazes in Southern California, including the largest and most devastating fire on record for the city of Los Angeles. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is on scene.
The Palisades fire, it's still burning out of control. And so it's helpful that we have the winds that have calmed down a bit, but they are going to be picking up back again. So firefighters have this pocket of opportunity to try to get as much under control as they can.
That's Santa Ana winds expected to flare up again this afternoon and in the coming days. Donald Trump is due to appear in court tomorrow in his New York hush money trial. The state's highest court declined to halt the sentencing hearing. Trump's attorneys have appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court to block the hearing. It is a national day of mourning, honoring former President Jimmy Carter. A state funeral was held earlier at National Cathedral in Washington, his casket now making the final journey to his home state of Georgia. This is ABC News. The California wildfires prompting President Biden to cancel an overseas trip.
President Biden canceled a three-day trip to Italy to stay in the U.S. and focus in the coming days on the federal response to the fires in Los Angeles. He was scheduled to depart today for Rome after the funeral for former President Jimmy Carter. During the trip, he planned to meet with Pope Francis at the Vatican and Italy's prime minister and president. This is the second time in recent months that a weather disaster forced the president to change overseas travel plans. He postponed a trip to Germany and Angola in the fall because of Hurricane Milton. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
Following a three-year project, Egypt unveiled several archaeological discoveries in the ancient city of Luxor. It includes 4,000-year-old tombs of high-ranking officials and remnants of Pharaoh Queen's Valley Temple. The queen who reigned from 1473 to 1458 BC is one of Egypt's few and most famous pharaohs. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a walk-up with central air and a skylight, and you found it. Now, every Friday night, you get to fall asleep to the sound of your downstairs neighbor's dance parties. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayland. Over the objections of Democrats, who argued other issues should have been taken up instead, the Wisconsin State Senate on Wednesday approved a voter ID amendment to the state constitution. We're seeing Representative Van Wongard.
I would ask my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, how many bills have you introduced for this legislature today? How many? Zero.
It's the measure's second pass through the legislature, which is required for any amendment to the Constitution. It's expected to pass in the Assembly next week and be on the statewide ballot in April. A Minnesota man is arrested in connection with a bank robbery in Minnesota.
The Monroe County Sheriff's Office says 51-year-old Corey Billstrom of Janesville was arrested Tuesday in the village of Wilton as part of a coordinated effort with law enforcement agencies in both states. Sheriff's deputies and local police made contact with Billstrom outside a residence and took him into custody. He's being held in the Monroe County Jail pending extradition to Minnesota, where he will face charges related to the bank robbery in the Minneapolis suburb of Bloomington. There was also an outstanding warrant for Billstrom's arrest from the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Ashanti Hamilton is leaving his post as director of Milwaukee's Office of Community Wellness and Safety.
The former alderman became head of the then Office of Violence Prevention in August 2022. The announcement of Hamilton's departure coming one day after the Milwaukee Police Department released its 2024 crime data, which includes a modest drop in homicides and other crimes, including rape, aggravated assault, human trafficking, burglary, theft, and arson, all decreased by single digits from the previous year. Mayor Cavalier Johnson's office said Hamilton is moving to the private sector. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Have your Wi-Fi devices multiplied like rabbits? It's time to get them hopping with Smart Home Wi-Fi from 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom. Devices and bandwidth can be hard to manage, but with the help of their local team, together they can keep you connected. Call 24/7 and West Wisconsin Telecom at 231-2000, and they'll get your family and all their devices connected. Get full details at wwt.net.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Increasing clouds and increasing warmth. Highs reaching the mid-20s, ahead of some snow tonight. Mainly moving in around sunset and continuing throughout the overnight. We are looking at accumulations around an inch. And a few flurries could still be lingering early tomorrow morning. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Right now, it's 22 degrees.
The grain markets seem to be in a holding pattern ahead of Friday's USDA reports. Corn did work to the upside, but wheat futures were lower. The soy complex was mixed again. Bean oil higher, meal lower. Beans favored following bean oil today. And livestock trade, wow! Big rallies in lean hog futures, bigger rallies in feeders, and the biggest rallies were in live cattle futures.
Live from USDA Report Eve via Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Mark Holbrook from the Andersons. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk. Following an abbreviated session in the grain and livestock trade, things closed up at 12:15 Central Time, in observance of the funeral of President Jimmy Carter. So, it was one of those days. You know, you look at what's going on in the grain markets, and you just kind of feel like it was a go nowhere, accomplish nothing, don't worry about things kind of day. And then you look at the livestock trade and Davis. Mm-hmm. Holy smokes, man. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk about a market that just absolutely caught fire after mid-morning.
And it ain't just the bovines either, baby.
No, pigs came along for the ride, too. The porcines are involved in this one.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Really impressive. Really impressive, the moves that we saw today. I love having Mark Holbrook on around the grain stocks reports. The reason is, you know, there's a lot of guys, that follow what's happening in the cash markets. You got to. I get that. But Mark does just a really nice job of taking what he is seeing in the cash market and explaining that and what it might mean for the markets going forward. And quite frankly, what it might be telling us about that quarterly grain stocks report. So, good reason to get Mark on ahead of the quarterly grain stocks. We'll preview the rest of the markets, rest of the reports as well. All right, buddy, let's go ahead and get started. What you got?
Well, sure thing. March soft red winter wheat futures failed to trade on the top side of 540 for the first time this week. So far, front month SRW futures have spent this week inside of last Friday's trading range. Wheat was under pressure again today despite trade reports that Taiwan purchased nearly 115,000 metric tons of U.S. milling quality wheat overnight. This week's strength in the U.S. dollar index has leaked buying interest from wheat futures. Chip, I don't know what to make of the settlements here. I'm going to give you the numbers that we have as of now. Mm-hmm. Last trades for today's abbreviated session, March HRW wheat futures 2¼ cents lower, 548. March soft red down 4 cents, 532¼. March spring wheat closed sort of at 582.
Yeah.
Down 3 cents. Chip, still in the air.
Yeah, yeah, we don't want to lock in on these prices quite yet. There seems to be some kind of a glitch. And I've checked two or three sources on this. Maybe somebody's got the settlements out there, but I don't have them. You don't have them. And so we're going to go with last trades.
Well, with government offices closed today, weekly export sales data is delayed until Friday morning. The lack of fresh demand news limited buying in corn futures. Although trade sources suggest South Korea purchased 65,000 metric tons of corn overnight. Anticipation of USDA's reports on Friday has the corn market in a holding pattern this week. March corn today opened near session lows and rallied to a high range close as traders evened positions. The weather forecast for Argentina is supportive for corn prices at this time. A late corn trade saw this. March corn futures 2¾ higher, 456¾. May corn up 2¼, 464¾. July corn futures 468¼ at last report, up 2½ cents.
Yeah, the last trade that we saw, it was rebuilding the upside momentum. That high range trade late in the session is positive for tomorrow's open.
Well, Chip, mixed product trade was again featured in the soy complex, with soybean meal futures trading lower and bean oil prices pushing to the upside. March bean oil has closed higher each day this week as spreaders unwind long meal short oil positions. March bean oil today opened slightly lower, spiked support at yesterday's low, and then rallied the close well above resistance at yesterday's high, and to complete, an upside reversal. Traders suggest stiffer restrictions on Indonesian palm oil could be helping to support bean oil prices. March bean meal closed lower for a fifth consecutive session and closed below $300 for the first time since December 23rd. The choppy pattern in March soybeans continued with prices consolidating just under $10. Again, these are the last trades that I saw anyway. March beans, 2¼ cents higher, 9.96¾. May beans up 2¼ to 10.08¼. July beans, 10.20 up 2 cents, Chip.
All right. I mean, this product trade that we're watching happen in this soy complex right now is really leaving beans caught in the middle of bean meal and bean oil.
Mm-hmm. I do have a settlement on cotton. March cotton was 27 points higher on the day at 68.50. Let's go to the livestock. Cattle futures opened on session lows, closed on session highs. Heavyweight choice graded box beef prices this morning, $2.21 higher at $3.30.82, Chip.
Man.
Cash market signals suggest packers are competing for all available supplies. Front month fat cattle posted an upside breakout and closed at the highest level since September 28, 2023. Here are the latest trades we have. February live cattle, $4.30 higher at 198 even. March feeders up 375, 268, 72 and a half. And real quick here, February lean hog futures today, so far up 267 and a half, 82.15. Chip, over to you.
All right. Thank you very much. Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
Doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
Dude, holy cattle rally, man. What happened?
Oh, man, just when you think it's running out of gas, it finds its legs. We saw that twice in the last week. You go back to last Friday where it looked like, hey, maybe that's a blow-off top. And then you start this week on solid ground. And then yesterday you get the rumor mill going and you sell off again. And then today just right back racing all those gains and then some to new contract highs for a lot of markets out there. So just a red-hot market. You know, the volatility and the fund positioning is a concern. That's for sure. So I'd be looking at some downside protection. I know I've been saying that for what seems like a lifetime now, but the higher we go, the more difficult it could be to manage risk whenever the funds do decide to mm-hmm. unwind.
Yeah. Yeah. When you can't breathe any longer, you need to go find some air. And I'm not sure. The air is thin up at these price levels. That's the bottom line.
And we've seen how fast risk can happen. I mean, you look at that Friday and even yesterday's trade. That happens fast. Luckily, the bulls caught a break and we were able to snap back. But what happens if that starts to snowball and feed on itself? That's the big concern. So I'd be looking at some sort of downside protection if you've got price risk.
All right. Well, I'd ask you about what's going on in the grain trade, but we're waiting for the reports to come out tomorrow morning. So I'll ask you this instead. Orange Bowl, Notre Dame, Penn State. What do you like?
Notre Dame fighting Irish.
Oh, look at you.
Should be a great game. Who are you taking?
Well, I'm going to go for Notre Dame as well. I thought you might.
You made it sound like I was some sort of.
I thought you might be setting up for some sort of a Big Ten championship game between Penn State and Ohio State.
Oh, no. We're on to basketball season in Nebraska.
Amen, brother. We're on to basketball season with at least the number 3 Iowa State Cyclones.
There you go. You guys are just an all-around sports school.
I'm telling you. Stay tuned, man. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, man.
Take care.
All right, Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Mark Hobrock from the Andersons up next.
Markets in Music City. It has a nice ring to it. That's why we want you to meet us in Nashville for the AgMarket.net Farm and Co. Profit Not Price Conference, February 2nd and 3rd at the Renaissance Nashville Hotel, with presentations geared toward risk management, a market outlook, technical analysis, and more, all while socializing some of the top analysts and producers around the country just steps from Broadway. Give us a call to register at 844-4-AG-MRKT or head to AgMarket.net. There's a risk of loss in trading futures and or options.
Mark your calendars now for Total Acres 2025 Grower Clinic. Join the Total Acre team for 3 great days of learning and networking, January 19th to the 21st at the family-friendly Renaissance Orlando at SeaWorld. With more than 20 immersive breakout sessions and an extensive trade show, it's your chance to network with other Total Acre members from 23 states and Canada. Head online to growbigcrops.com/growerclinicregistration today to register.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revilock fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15th, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call
every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.76%. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this Thursday afternoon. Had an abbreviated session today, but we're going to go forward and act like it was a full day of trade and try to get some perspective on what today's trade means for tomorrow. And we've got those USDA reports coming our way tomorrow too. We'll do a little bit of preview on those as well. Mark Hobrock from the Andersons is our guest analyst today. Mark, man, it's good to talk to you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Chip. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. Glad you're here. Let's just start with your general impression of the way that the grains are trading right now. What are they trying to tell us?
I think they're trying to tell us on the corn side. You know, corn's rallied, you know, 50, 60 cents from the early harvest lows. And I think it's due to a reduced crop in what we call that southeast market into the far east U.S. grain belt. And wheat's telling us that there's plenty of wheat supply in the world today, and soybeans the same way. So what's really captivating is the funds are about 230,000 contracts long corn, but yet they're short beans and short wheat. And usually they're in tandem with one another. When one's long, all three of them are long. So it's really interesting to see. But I think the big piece for your listeners is there's plenty of supply in the U.S. for today. There's plenty of supply in the world. But we always have to get a crop in the ground, and there'll be opportunities ahead of us here.
All right. What kind of opportunities are we seeing coming out of that southeast and east feed market? Is it creating some basis pop in the eastern corn belt?
Yeah, basis has been pretty strong coming out of harvest in that whole eastern corn belt as we try to supply that southeast market where they can't live off the local supply like they have the last 2 years down there. Yeah. A little different story in the west, right? I mean, the west had a bigger crop this year from the panhandle of Texas all the way up through there. Not a tremendously bigger crop, but Nebraska had a bigger crop. And you're seeing basis values in the west that are 30 to 40 cents down basically, you know, in the last 3 months.
Right. And that is more of a function of supply than it is of demand, isn't it? I mean, I know that they both need to be measured when and taken into account when we're figuring out what this basis trade is doing. But Mark, I'm finding it difficult to find anything wrong with corn demand in the Western Belt.
Fully agree. Demand's still good out there. One thing we have to focus on is there's wheat finding its way into some livestock rations.
Okay.
Milo without the export of Milo. You know, going to China with the Chinese economy the way it is, there's not a lot of exports of Milo out. So wheat and Milo is finding its way into these the what I call the Southwest feed belt. They're finding its way into the feed rations today.
Okay. How much of a difference can that make to the corn market?
Everybody's asking the same question, Chip. And I'll tell you, let's call it 100 to 125 million bushels.
Okay. All right. Well, 125 million bushels off the demand side of the balance sheet would have an impact on price, wouldn't it?
Sure, it would, but I don't think that we find less feed use in this report tomorrow on the corn side of things. Maybe they drop at 25 million bushels, but I don't think we start seeing that till we get into, you know, third quarter stocks or maybe even into that June 30th stocks report number.
Yeah, yeah. You know, tell me if I'm full of it on this or not, Mark, but coming off of this 24 crop, I feel like the grain stocks reports are going to be elevated in importance, but not this one. But not, you know, I feel like we're going to get through this one without a major surprise. But man, oh man, I feel like we could get, I feel like the grain stocks reports are going to be really, really difficult to predict going forward. Do you know what I'm talking about there?
I understand your concern, and I agree. I don't think there's much in this stocks report, right? It's basically the first quarter of the marking year stocks report. I think we tend to come out at the average trade guess or close to the average trade guesses. Yeah. I think it's our stocks report as we get into, you know, that March, more importantly, that June number where we really start messing with the feed number. I think the ethanol number's right on target today with them raising usage in the December report, the December WASDE, and I think with them raising the export number on corn like they did in December, I think it's pretty close to where it needs to be at this time.
Yeah, okay. Okay. We got to remind everybody that when we talk about the feed number, when you bring that over to the supply and demand table, it's a feed and residual category. It's got the feed component. It's got the residual component to it. It just makes it that much more difficult to try to really zero in on what is going on. And when we're sending tonners through sale barns up in South Dakota and feeding as many hogs as we are right now, you would think that feed number could be really strong, but they can always take it out of the residual, can't they?
Yes, sir. And that's the big piece that a lot of our listeners forget about is the residual piece. That's kind of their fudge factor, if you will.
Yep.
That's kind of what we like to call it. But that's the big piece of the residual number of it.
Yep.
Feed demand fudge. Strong. And that's what we got to remember. Feed demand strong. But it's just we might be feeding a little more wheat and Milo into these feed rations this year versus what we did in the past three or four.
10-4. I think is going to be really, really important as we try to figure out exactly what's going to be going on. Okay, what about the supply side of the balance sheet? We talked a little bit about that southeast U.S. corn crop was off, nowhere close to a record yield. But then we saw record yields in the eastern belt, central belt, good crop in the primary production areas. What do we see on the supply side of the balance sheet in that annual production summary?
I think tomorrow we could see corn yield get reduced around a bushel. So we get back in toward that 182 number, maybe upper 181s, right? 181.7 to 182 number, which basically reduced our total supply. Let's just call it around 90 million bushel, correct?
Okay.
So maybe we take the stocks down. Maybe we take the stocks down to a 1.675 type number, and that's kind of where the average trade guess is.
Okay.
1.675 billion, obviously. So I think for this trade to get re-energized, if you remember, we took 250 million bushels off the stocks number in December, and we rallied the corn market 8 cents. And we're kind of right back in those same trading ranges where we were after that December report. So we've got to feed these funds with some type of bullish number. And I think to have a bullish type number, we got to drop any stocks below 1.65 billion tomorrow. Can it happen? Absolutely. But again, I think our upside, if we would have got that 250 million reduction like we got in December 2 years ago, mm-hmm. we would have been up 30 to 40 cents that day.
Yeah.
We called a limit
yeah.
move, right? And we moved the market 8 cents. So we've got to feed these funds with some type of new bullish number, and I just don't know if we get it tomorrow.
Okay. Boy, and if we would give them some kind of a bearish number where, you know, we're caught leaning the wrong way on the supply side and we somehow, some way get a bit more supply, that would scare that managed money, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing is you know, they're long about 230,000 contracts today.
Yeah.
If we get a number where the stocks don't really change, and let's say they leave it at a 1.725, 1.75, you know, that's probably, we might see us down, you know, 10 to 12 cents tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right. How do you feel about the bullish story in corn? You're constructing one for me is what it feels like, Mark.
I want to be a friendly corn so we make sure we get this crop in the ground in the United States, okay? Or let's call it the Northern Hemisphere. I think there's enough supply challenges in the world. You've got La Nina. It's a weak La Nina today. What's that mean for the Safrina corn crop in Brazil? What's that mean for Argentina's corn crop? Right. The U.S. is still a residual supplier of corn to the world.
Yeah.
Russia's the residual supplier of wheat. South America's the residual supplier of soybeans. But I think corn still has a story here for the next couple of months. But again, I think our upside is getting limited as we've rallied this thing 50 cents off, you know, coming out of harvest. So, do we get another 15, 20 cents after this report? I hope so. But I think the top side here is maybe 475 March futures in my mind.
475 March. Okay. You mentioned the exports. I just got, you know, a little bit of time that we've got left in this segment here. Impact of the dollar on corn trade. Is there much of an impact?
You know, I think with a higher dollar, you know, we saw when the dollar was trading, you know, around the parity, the, you know, 102 range, you know, Mexico was buying a lot of U.S. corn. We were selling a lot of corn in the European Union at that time, stuff of that nature. It has a little impact on it, but I think the biggest thing on the export side for the next 60 days, or let's call it the first quarter once the new administration gets in, is what happens with the tariff game,
yeah.
Right? I don't think it's going to be as much of a factor of what it was during the first presidency, during his first term.
Okay.
Because I think the world's expecting it. And China's not the demand story that it was 4 years ago.
Right.
Or call it 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, I got you. We are right in the middle of a conversation with Mark Hobrock from the Anderson, going by super, super fast on me here. Mark, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this wheat story. What exactly, I mean, 550 wheat, does it make sense to you? Let's just start with that. Mark Hobrock from the Andersons.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities. I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
All right, so I've gone to the markets page at profarmer.com, and I'm not seeing a whole lot of change. I'll give you what I've got. March HRW wheat futures 2.25 cents lower, 548. March SRW down 4 cents, 532.25. March corn futures 2.75 cents higher, but 456.75. July corn futures closed at 468.25. That's up 2.5 cents. Again, last trades we saw, March soybeans 2.25 higher, 996.75. May beans up 2.25, 1008.25. March cotton did settle 27 points higher at 68.50. Let's go to the livestocks. February fat cattle were $4.30 higher at 198 even. March feeders up 375 to 268.72.5. And February lean hog futures up 267.5 to 82.15. Visit tryprofarmer.com a little bit later and look over on the markets page there, tryprofarmer.com.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit wisconsinsoybean.org.
You have work to do. You need a tractor that helps get it done. TYM is a full range of tractors designed to meet that task. With the TYM easy-to-use controls and features, switching from one job to another is easy. And with a full range of models from 24 horsepower to 105 horsepower turbo, there's a TYM tractor that's just right for the job and for you. Work smart, but you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers. Synergy Co-op, State Road 25, Ridgeland.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport Mondovi.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Increasing clouds and increasing warmth. Highs reaching the mid-20s, ahead of some snow tonight. Mainly moving in around sunset and continuing throughout the overnight. We are looking at accumulations around an inch. And a few flurries could still be lingering early tomorrow morning. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Right now, it's 22 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Mark Hobrock from the Andersons. So, Mark, wheat, the wheat story here. just 550, and now that I'm looking at the screen again, or lower, wheat prices in the March contracts. Does that make sense to you?
It does for the amount of supply we have, right? If you look at the stocks, you know, you look at the stocks year over year, you know, average trade expectation for U.S. stocks is basically 100 million bushels higher than it was last year. Okay. If you look at the world numbers, we're basically 10 million metric tons below last year, and that's due to reduced crops in other areas of the world.
Yeah.
So I think the story with wheat, you know, was the drought conditions in the hard red belt the last 2 years. Obviously, the Russia-Ukraine situation really propelled wheat. And now we're back in a, you know, I think I told you this morning, 5.25 to 6.25 seems to be the wheat range today.
Yeah.
I think as I look, as I'm actually in Southwest Kansas today and look at the wheat crop here and listen to the farmers when we're doing farmer meetings out here and talk about how the moisture they have and how good their wheat crop looks heading into dormancy. So I just don't think the U.S. has a wheat problem today. One thing we have to watch on this wheat situation is the Russian wheat crop went into dormancy extremely dry.
Right.
As dry as they've been in several years. So I think the wheat, to get this wheat crop excited, yes, we're probably feeding a little more wheat in the U.S. and in the world than we have in the past. But once this wheat starts coming out of dormancy in the Northern Hemisphere, that could get this wheat market a little excited.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch it here and watch it in Russia at the same time as it's coming out of dormancy. Any calves running around on the wheat pasture down there?
There is. There's more. There's a lot of cattle on the wheat pasture, you know, from the Panhandle, Texas, all the way up through Southwest Kansas. So good to see. Again, yeah. That probably reduces our corn demand a little bit, too.
Yeah. Yep. That's exactly why I was asking. I mean, it's whenever they can get some backgrounding done on those calves down there before they go into the feedlot, it's going to make everything that much more efficient and potentially reduce that corn intake to get them to finish. But and the other thing that's going on, Mark, the feedlot conditions, for the most part, I mean, the calves are just doing fantastic on the conditions that they've got down there right now, right?
They're fantastic. I mean, you're throwing a little snow into that, the Panhandle of Texas, stuff of that nature today, but it hasn't been extremely cold, and these the conditions are phenomenal. The rate of gain is doing really well with a lot of these feed yards we talked to.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to the soy complex. And when you look at the slate of reports that are coming up tomorrow, which is going to be more important tomorrow at 11:01 Central Time? Is it going to be the reports or is it going to be the forecast for South America?
South American forecast. You know, I think you look at U.S., you know, maybe we lose 2 to 3/10 of a bushel off that yield. Is it really a big factor in the whole supply side? Not really. It's the lack of what I call Chinese demand and the good crop we've had in the U.S. as well as what South America's production is going to be.
Is Chinese demand as bad as what we think it is? Or is the Chinese economy as slow as what we think it is?
I think the Chinese economy is in my opinion, I think it's slower than what they're leading on. So, you know, usually when China comes in and buys boats out of the U.S. or buys boats out of Brazil, they're buying 10 to 15 at a time, right? Mm-hmm. You look at the most recent export sales data out of the U.S. or Brazil, they're buying 4 to 5 boats at a time. So mm-hmm. I think they're just being cautious to where price levels are. These are the cheapest beans they've been able to source, you know, basically in 5 years since the 2020 pandemic. So I think they're just being cautious, but I'm really concerned that the Chinese economy is not as strong as they're wanting it to be or that they're making it up to be.
Okay. All right. Longer term, Davis had this in the news earlier. I think it was this morning that China is taking some steps to improve their soybean production with genetics and just production practices in general. Can they do enough to have an impact on global bean trade?
Chip, I hate to answer a question with a question, but they've been trying to do it in corn for how many years?
Well, yeah.
Right? Yeah. They're going to try to improve. Yes, will they improve? Absolutely. I mean, look what South America's done with their genetics and their climate and their culture. They've improved it. Eventually, they'll improve it, but I don't think it's a meaningful improvement in the next 5 years.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm with you. You know, this is the kind of stuff that we see in their 5-year plan. All, you know, every year we see it in a brand new 5-year plan, and so we just need to continue to watch it. Over under on 170 million metric tons on the bean crop out of Brazil.
I'm leaning a little less than that today. Okay. You know, that's what a lot of your internal trade estimates are. I just think they've been too dry in the southern region to produce 170. The point being for all your listeners, is it 165? Is it 170? Does it really matter if it's 5 million metric tons when world any stocks are projected to go up basically 22 million metric tons year over year from a 110 up to a 132? There's plenty of supply in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the wet blanket that I think keeps getting thrown over this market. So with that, with those thoughts in mind, when you're doing some price modeling on beans, what are they turning out?
Any old crop, you're stuck in this 960 to 1060 range. You know, we really broke this thing down on good crop weather in Brazil once they finally got the crop planted and are catching some timely rains, and everybody started talking to 170 million metric ton crop out of Brazil and the 50 million metric ton crop out of Argentina. And now we've kind of rallied off those lows and approaching back to, you know, $10 March futures. I just think if, you know, bean futures above 10 and a quarter needs sold. And I think new crop, if we can get no beans in that upper 10 range, love to tell you $11. I think it just needs sold. I think the one thing to watch as we start talking the acres battle, you've got that new crop corn, new crop bean ratio trading in that 2.22, 2.23 area. You know, if that thing stays that low into corn planting season, I think we get a few more corn acres planted in the United States next year, unless we get that ratio back up to 2.4 to 2.5 level.
Okay. Well, and cotton isn't doing anything to hold on to acres either, is it?
60-cent cotton doesn't pay a lot of bills.
No. So I wonder, are those corn acres or bean acres?
It depends on where you're at. I think if you're in that Delta region or what we call the Mid-South, you know, through, you know, Arkansas, Western Tennessee, up in the North Delta, Mississippi, Northern Louisiana, I think you could see those areas flip to corn.
Yeah.
If we're talking the Texas, the dryland cotton.
Yeah.
Man, I think those guys will try to stay dryland cotton if they didn't plant the wheat last fall just because they can't do it. Right. So I tend to think that the Delta Mid-South, those acres go from cotton to corn, and maybe the Texas region or that area probably goes to more of a sorghum milo type mixture.
Okay. So 178.5 million planted corn and soybean acres this last year. Because of some of the issues out there, can we move that closer to 180 in 2025?
You know, I always have a good acres discussion around total corn and bean acres, right? And I love it. It all depends on the spring, right? If we have a good spring, you know, we had a really fast-paced fall harvest season. I think a lot of work got done. I think we can gear up to try to get back to there. As you know, we as farmers always like to outproduce our problems. And I think we're going to try to plant the acres, more acres than we can.
Okay. All right. So when you're out there on the road talking with farmers right now, Mark, are you I'm feeling a bit more urgency to get ahead on corn marketing right now, way more than what I felt a year ago right now. But I feel like we're starting to feel some urgency to get ahead on corn marketing. Are you seeing it?
We're seeing it, and that's kind of our message, is we're kind of back in this range bound mode of corn, $4 to $5, or call it $3.50 to $5.50 if you want to put it at $2 range, right? Yeah. And I think if we produce another corn crop in the U.S., an average corn crop, and we have an average corn crop worldwide, that, you know, corn's back trading $3.50 like we went down to there in late August, early September on the front month. So I think I think we got to be more prepared that we're in this range bound mode, and the volatility and the you know $1.20, $1.50 price swings, we're not going to see that. Now we're more in a called a 75 cent price swing in my mind. So I think as we look forward for the old crop, I think if we get a chance to get March futures, you know, up in that 470, 475 area, I think it's a selling opportunity. If we can get Dease corn up in that 475 area, I think it's a good place to start. Always look for some, you know, some contracts, some OTC contracts or some averaging type contracts that leave some upside open for you, but get a solid established floor in until we see how we get this crop in the ground.
Okay. All right. Unfortunately, Mark, what I'm hearing here is that we're going to have some, a production problem someplace in a big way to change the outlook on these grains, right?
So, fully agreed. And I think with that being said, until we have that production problem, the goal of the market is try to create more demand.
Yes.
And we're just not seeing more demand today.
Yes.
We're maintaining demand, but not seeing extra demand.
Maintaining demand. And when the markets go searching for demand, that's just a nice way of saying some lower prices ahead. Mark, great conversation, man. Thank you for making time for us.
Always appreciate you having me, Chip.
Excellent. Excellent. Mark Holbrook from the Anderson Davis and I'll be right back.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty. Even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-549-TERM, 866-549-TERM, 866-549-TERM.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen. But you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here. Chip Flory as well. I'm not seeing settlements here, although the numbers haven't changed on my quote screen here. So
yeah, no.
I guess nothing to report there.
I would guess that there's just some kind of a glitch and something of an unplanned abbreviated session.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
this actually works out. We need to fill some time here. I got a piece of tape over the lunch hour. I almost missed it from Scout, the farm dog.
Oh.
Apparently he's been out there for a Farm Dog Journal reporting away, and he thinks he's got something that our listeners might be interested in. So I thought maybe I'd just roll the tape. I haven't heard this. We'll just let her go. Hey, Scout, welcome to AgriTalk. What do you got for us?
Well, thanks, Chip. On the last Wednesday of 2024, the American Kennel Club added the Danish-Swedish farm dog as the organization's 202nd recognized breed of dog.
Huh.
According to the Washington Post, with their energy, small stature, and short hair, Danish-Swedish farm dogs resemble Jack Russell Terriers and Beagles. I had a chance to talk to Rollo Svelterson, a working Danish-Swedish farm dog. We caught up with Rollo at work earlier this week. Rollo, what does it mean to have your breed recognized by the AKC? Well, that's the word from an AKC recognized Danish Swedish farm dog. Special thanks to Rollo Svelterson. For Farm Dog Journal, it's Scout the Farm Dog.
Oh, there's the end of that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why he hung up at the
goodbye.
End.
Goodbye. Yeah. Goodbye. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that report. The Danish-Swedish farm dog.
You're making this up.
This is
absolutely
true. Scout's
making this up.
Look it up. That's what I thought, too. I Googled it quick. Yes, absolutely. It's a thing. When farms were smaller in Norwegia, is that a word? In Denmark, sort of that area up in there, they had small dogs. They preferred that. But as the farm sizes grew, they needed larger dogs. And so that breed kind of fell apart a little bit.
Okay.
Well, dog lovers from, enthusiasts, you might even say, from Denmark and Sweden decided they're going to revive the breed. But they couldn't agree on if they should call it the Danish farm dog or the Swedish farm dog. They absolutely could not agree. And so they said, you know what, in the spirit of the love of dogs, we'll call
That's
it the Danish Swedish farm dog. They're about 400.
You might as well call it the tulip chocolate dog.
Ooh, that's not bad.
I mean, come on. The Danish
chocolate.
Swedish farm dog.
You know,
sounds like a rat dog to me.
Well, and there is that, but then I also thought, you know, you might recall, I took over the landowner newsletter editor role from Mike Walston, who I think is, he's a Swede, isn't he? Is he Swedish?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I'm Danish myself.
Right.
If you're wondering what it would sound like if a Danish-Swedish farm dog could write, read Landowner.
Yeah.
Just saying.
It's better than that mumbo-jumbo that we got from, who was it, Ronaldo?
It was Rollo Svelters.
Rollo.
Yeah.
Rollo. Yeah. Okay.
Rollo, of course, gibberish. An early Danish Viking explorer and,
right.
and conqueror. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting stuff. Good stuff from Mark Hobrock there, too. Can I make a pun really quick? South American weather forecast to eclipse USDA report data?
Sure.
Question mark?
Sure. Yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. Very good. And I think he's 100% right on soybeans in particular. And the reason that I say that is because the data that we get tomorrow, even if they would take another bushel off the national average bean yield, even if they would cut the supply side that much, it doesn't change the global outlook. I mean, he said it. We've got that big increase, year-to-year increase coming in the in the global bean carryover, and that's just kind of the wet blanket over this bean market right now. So unless you can show me something that is going to change that element, then it's going to be real difficult to talk about a different story on this bean trade.
Well, and let's not count on this, but there is the potential for some unexpected fireworks in the Jan 10 report every year, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, and the thing is, every time that, and you know what, with USDA reports, when you least expect a surprise, that's when the odds are the highest that you're going to get a surprise. That's just the way the world works.
Yeah.
So with everybody feeling pretty comfortable going into the 11 o'clock Central Time Friday morning USDA reports, mm-hmm. if you're feeling pretty comfortable, maybe rein that comfort in just a little bit and get a little anxious because the market is primed for a surprise in that report.
Speaking of surprises, I'm looking down here at the hog market around a short covering. What did the cash hog market fundamentals do to the shorts there that made them run?
Well, I think what happened was we saw some strength in the pork product trade.
Okay.
So it's the story that we talked about with Glenn Tonser this morning on the show, talking about meat demand in general. If that demand does start to come back to the pork and lays a foundation into the pork market, it's going to be hard for the cash market to ignore. I got to believe that.
Yeah.
And the lean hog market is still going to be responsive to things, to movement in cash lean hogs. I'm not too sure if live cattle futures are going to be that responsive or not. I just don't know. But I think lean hogs will be going forward. All right. National Weather Service 6 to 10-day outlook January 15th through the 19th. We've got near normal to below normal temperatures expected in the Corn Belt. Near normal in the central Corn Belt, below normal in the eastern Corn Belt. Above normal temperatures are expected in Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota. On the precip side, near normal precipitation expected in that Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota area. Above normal precipitation is expected across the rest of the Corn Belt. Come back tomorrow morning. We got a free-for-all coming your way. Newton, Haney, Michelson, and me here on AgriTalk.
Help maximize your yield potential and savings with 0% financing on leading fungicides from BASF. You can't beat 0%, especially when you could save big on consistent performing fungicides like Revitec fungicide and Veltima fungicide until March 15, 2025. 0% financing means keeping more in your wallet for better ROI. Talk to your BASF retailer today about the Grower Finance Program. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions. See BASF Grower Finance Program for details. Always read and follow label directions.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Build your business with a partner you can trust, The Home Depot. When you join Pro Xtra, you get lower than shelf pricing and dedicated support to help you streamline your business and stay on budget. Get dedicated pro support for supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. At The Home Depot, we supply the support your job needs with the level of service your business deserves. The Home Depot, how pros get more done.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Southern California, Santa Ana winds are projected to flare up in the coming hours again. Fire crews battling multiple wildfires from the ground and once again by air today. The massive fire in Pacific Palisades is still burning out of control. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is on scene.
Does